Well, amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you so much for the privilege to be able to stand up here and preach God's Word. It's one of my favorite things to do in life is to preach the Word of God. I get to do that quite a bit on Sundays now while we're not in a church plant in the mornings, per se. So I get to go out and preach quite a bit. And I didn't get to preach this morning, so I get to preach tonight. So it's a good thing. I am Brother Tony Roa. We've been coming here quite a bit. We come here on Wednesdays, usually. We call it Worth Wednesdays. And we live in Burleson, so it's just a very short drive up here to Worth. And I just want to thank y'all so much for how y'all have accepted us and got to know us and loved on my kids. My son got to go to youth camp, or not youth camp, but junior camp this year. And he's in the youth group now. My daughter's in the youth group, and my sister comes with us on Wednesday night. She's actually a Spanish speaker. She doesn't speak any English. And I don't speak any Spanish, so it's really good that she gets to come and listen to the Word of God preach. So we pick her up every Wednesday and bring her to church with us. And I just want to thank y'all so much for opening your doors to our family. And we look forward to what the future holds with us and Worth Baptist Church. So thank y'all very much. Y'all are a blessing. Y'all open the doors up for the school to come out here, and we're very involved in the school. Like Brother Gillett said, my wife is the secretary for the MBBS and IBFI, so she's up here, and y'all made her feel at home, so thank y'all for that. Brother Corey opened his office up for Brother Stewart to go in there, and man, I'm sure it looks like his home in there now, so that's a blessing, but I just want to thank y'all so much. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4 tonight. We're living in exciting times, amen? We're living in the church age, and it's good to be a part of a church, and it's good to be part of a good Christ-like church, which I believe Worth Baptist Church is. You know, what our lives, what our world, what our churches, our families need is more Christ. And I believe we hear about Christ, and where we lift Christ up at is in the local New Testament church. And I believe that. I believe that Christ is the answer to all of life's problems. And can I remind you tonight that we live in a world that's full of problems. Look, even among us, even among saved people, maybe you're here and you're not saved. Saved regardless or not, we have problems in our lives. And I believe that Christ is the answer to our problems. And as we're going to be looking in the book of Acts tonight, I love the book of Acts. Coming out of the Gospels is a great book of transition that we call the book of Acts. And it's the disciples were on fire about the things of Christ. We understand that Christ came and they completely changed everything that they were doing in Judaism, and they started following Christ, and it kind of bucked the whole system. And here are these disciples that are following Christ, and even when Christ was crucified, they just kept following him. And now the book of Acts comes, and we know in Acts chapter 1, Christ gives the last great commission, and then here comes Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, and so many were added unto that early church there, and now the disciples are going out, and they're trying to promote Christ or fulfill the great commission that Christ gave. You know, it's called the book of Acts for a reason, because there's a lot of action going on. Look, I believe that right now in the churches and in the church age, there should be a lot of action going on. I was privileged to come here a little bit early today at 5 o'clock and sit in on the meeting for Evangelize DFW. Man, it's a great thing. How many of y'all believe that we should evangelize DFW? Amen. I believe that's a great thing. A lot of times we like to fulfill the Great Commission by taking out our wallets and giving money to send to foreign missions and doing that. That's a good thing, but I believe that we need to be doing something as well. And this is exactly what they're doing in the book of Acts. You know, being able to go around in churches and going to a bunch of different churches in the past few years, seeing how the world is changing, reminds me that we as God's people need to be busy about God's work. It's so important that we're busy doing things for him. And can I commend y'all tonight that this is definitely a busy church. It's a busy church. But more importantly, I believe Worth Baptist Church is a Christ-like church. So thank y'all for that. Amen. We need more churches just like this one. That's why I'm so excited that we're going to partner with Worth Baptist Church to plant a church. Amen. And I pray that it's just like this one, a Christ-like church. In chapter 3 of Acts, before we get to chapter 4 where we're going to be at, in chapter 3, kind of give it context, Peter and John heal this lame man. They heal this lame man, and they proceed to preach Christ. And as they heal the lame man and preach Christ, you understand that every time they did something, just like when Christ was here, there was always people watching them to see if they were going to do something wrong so they can take them, arrest them, and kind of stop them from what they were doing. And so they healed this lame man, which is a good thing, amen? But they healed this lame man, and then they started preaching Christ, and they started preaching the resurrection, and it made the religious people upset. It made them angry. And then we get here to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide." Just imagine this. They're just out preaching Christ. They're preaching hope, basically. They're preaching the resurrection from the dead. They're preaching hope. And as they're doing this, people come in, they take them, they arrest them, and they put them in jail overnight. I love verse number 4. It reminds me that God prevails through opposition. Amen. Verse number 4 says, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and their elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?" They take them. They're in jail overnight. They get them out of jail. They're upset. Many believed. They set them right in the middle of all these priests, all these religious people, and they ask them, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" Jonathan Edwards, the great American revivalist preacher, said this. He said that, "I assert that nothing ever comes to pass without a cause. Nothing ever comes to pass without a cause." So the way that I read this in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, in verse number 7, what I see them saying is, what has caused y'all to do this? What is the reason why y'all are doing this? You know we don't want you doing these things. You know that we have the power to put you in prison. You've seen what we did to your leader. We crucified him on the cross. By what power, by what cause are you doing the things that you're doing? Look, all across our world today, there are many causes that affect people to completely give their lives to it. We see it on television. We see it on the news. We see many causes that people will completely devote their lives to. And when we see the people devoting their lives to these causes, there is absolutely no doubt what cause they're devoting their life to. They'll wear it on their shirts. They'll promote it with their mouths. They'll hold signs up, and they'll be loud, and they'll be proud about the causes that they're promoting. And look, in many times, Christian people, we don't really show what our cause is, amen? These early Christians, this early church, these disciples, they were going out, and these people were asking them, what has caused you to do this? What has caused you to do this? For the early church, the early Christians, they had to make it about Christ, amen? Look, coming out of the Gospels where Christ started the church, into this great transition book of Acts, you understand Christ just gave them, the last time he gave them the Great Commission, and then he ascends to heaven. The apostles in the early church had to make it all about Christ. Look, we have to understand that Christianity was not well received at that time. The Jewish leaders didn't well receive it. The Roman government didn't receive it. We understand whenever Christ was here that Rome governed over the Jews. They had their hand over the Jews, and they would set policies up. They would do all kinds of things that the Jewish people had to follow. And then when Christ came, he kind of bucked that system. The system was kind of changed up a little bit. And the followers of Christ, after Christ left, they had to make it all about him. They had to make the cause, the reason why they were doing what they were doing, all about Christ. Look, can I remind us this evening that today Christianity is not well received in the country that we live in. I believe that our country is based on the laws of God. The foundation was built upon God, upon Christ, but the further that time goes, the longer that time goes, the less and less people really like Christianity. They don't receive it. Not just America. I would just say Texas doesn't well receive it. Amen? I believe that we're in the Bible Belt, and I believe that in Texas it's not really well received. I mean, you've knocked on doors, you've talked to people, and people just don't want to hear that much of it. Can I just break it down to Fort Worth? Hey, starting this Evangelize DFW, there's going to be some areas that you go to where it's not going to be well received, and you might get the door shut in your face. You might get cussed at. You might get spit upon. I don't know. That's why you got to make it about Christ, amen? You can't make it about Brother Gillett. You can't make it about Worth Baptist Church. You're knocking on those doors. You're inviting people to church because of Jesus Christ. You're presenting Christ to these people. These Romans, these Jewish leaders, they didn't want these new Christians disrupting the policies that had already been established. Look, this country we live in is putting out new policies, it seems like, almost daily. Brother Gillett mentioned this morning, talking about COVID, maybe mask mandates, and what in the world are we going to do if that happens again? Y'all remember when COVID happened, all the different policies, all the different mandates that were put out. Look, the thing is, the Jewish people at that time, they got comfortable living the way that they were. They got comfortable living with those policies. They got comfortable doing what the Roman people told them to do. Look, I have a fear that we have too many Christians in our world today too comfortable with the way that things are. Look, we should never get comfortable here on this earth, amen? Look, I feel comfortable when I come to church. I feel comfortable when I'm around God's people. But in the world in general, we should not be comfortable in this world. Why? Because this world is not our home, amen? We're just passing through. We have a citizenship in heaven, and so this world should be a foreign type place to us. We shouldn't be so distant that we can't reach people. We shouldn't be so different distance that we can't talk to people, but hey, we should not get comfortable living here on this earth. Regardless, the disciples knew that the work still had to be done. I believe that y'all know tonight that the work still has to be done. In verses number 2 and 3, we see how Peter and John were thrown in jail simply for preaching Christ and the resurrection. Aren't you thankful for the hope that you and I have in Christ? Amen. Look, that is cause enough for us to boldly take a stand for the cause of Christ. The fact that we have a hope. We are not a hopeless people. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel hopeless, but let me tell you something tonight, that there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is a resurrection. We had a longtime lady in our church. She was a secretary for the longest time. Miss Pam Henson, she passed away, I believe it was Thursday or Friday of this week. I got a text from my pastor and told me that Miss Pam had passed away. Man, for the Christian, man, we have hope in that. We have hope that in the resurrection, we have a hope that we are going to see her again. I'm thankful for that hope. Then we get to verses number 8 through 13, and we first see the cause or the why they did what they did. So verse 7, we see there how he said, and when they set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? In verses 8 through 13, we see this first cause or the why they were doing what they were doing. And can I remind you tonight that everything that we say or do should always be centered around Christ. Look, the reason for salvation should be centered around Christ. The reason for baptism, the reason for church membership, for forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, the reason that we give, the reason that we yield, the reason that we plant, sing, reverence the house of God, etc., is because of Christ and what he finished on the cross for you and I. And so in verses 8 through 13, let's read there. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know what they said right there? They said, what is causing you to do this? What has caused you to stand before us and to preach the things that you know that we don't like? What has caused you to heal this man in front of us that we know that we don't like? What has caused you to go to jail and then to come out and to do all of these things? They said, let me tell you what caused me to do that. It was Jesus Christ. It was Christ. It caused me to do that. He caused me to do that. You know why? Because he did something to me. Amen. And if you're in here tonight and you're saved, Jesus Christ did something to you too. And so you have a cause. Amen. And if you're not saved tonight, there's a cause to get saved. Amen. And that cause is Jesus Christ. Paul Chappell says in his book, Keep the Faith, he says, we don't serve the Lord to prove anything. We serve because Jesus paid everything. Amen? Look, these men, they weren't doing this to prove anything. They were doing this because Jesus Christ already paid everything. Amen? And they wanted the world to know that Jesus did that for them as well. We understand that they were in the religion of Judaism. We understand that they were steeped in this religion. Think about the Apostle Paul. He was trained up. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was in this religion. But man, when they got out of that religion and they started trusting Christ and they started following Christ, they wanted everybody else to do the same. Man, when I first got saved, I was out of high school before I started going to church. Thank God my mom started going to church, amen? And I was graduated high school. And I started going to church, and I had all these buddies before that, and I started going, and I would invite them to come to church after I started going, and you know what they told me to do? Stop telling me that. Do not ask me again. But I wanted them to have what I had, amen? I went to a little small church plant, actually. It was a real small church. We had maybe 20, 30 members when I started going, and all the people were older than me. It was hard to go to church with a lot of people that were older than me. I wanted my buddies to come and hear what I heard. But they all rejected me, except for one, amen? And that one started coming to church with me, and he got saved, amen? And so it was me and him. And man, it was a great thing because I wanted him to have what I had. And these, the disciples, they wanted the religious people. They wanted all their people to have what they have. Look, I believe tonight we need to have a heart for people. We need to have a heart for people that they could have what we have. And what we have is Jesus Christ, and he is the reason why we go. I believe the reason why we have seen or could see a decline in salvations, baptism, etc., is because of the cause that we do these things. Look, we should never be selfishly motivated. Paul Chappell goes on to say in that book, he says, what God has done for me is secondary to who God is to me. Amen? That's great. What God has done for us is secondary to what he is to us. I believe that too many Christians are doing things so God will bless them and not because of who God is to them. Look, everything that we do, we should not do things to try to get a blessing. We should not do things to try to get more grace. You cannot gain grace, amen? God just gives that grace out freely. It's freely given favor unto enablement. So what we should do is we should do things because of who God is. Look, I do things for my wife because who she is to me, because I love her so much, and I'm motivated by that love to do things for her. Look, we need to be motivated by the love of Jesus Christ to do things for him and not expect anything in return. Let me ask you tonight, who is God to you? Who is God to you? I always think about the A.W. Tozer quote. In the Knowledge of the Holy, he said, the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So if I were to ask you tonight, what is it? Who is God to you? What do you think about God? Look, Peter and John were facing persecution for standing up for this cause. We can look down in verse 29 of the same chapter of Acts, and it says, and now, O Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Look, their cause, the cause of this early church was greater than the persecutions. We understand that the church was being persecuted. They were being killed. They were being ripped apart, being torn apart. But their cause was so much more important than the threatenings and the slaughter. That when they prayed to God, they didn't pray for the threatenings. They didn't pray for the slaughter. They prayed for boldness that they could preach the word of God because he meant so much to them. You ever think about this? What would have happened in the first century if the first century church was made up of 21st century believers? Think about that. If that first century church was made up of us, of all of us, you know, we have it easy. We have this. we have it easy. We get upset when somebody rejects us. Man, they were going into this thing knowing that they could die at any moment for what they believed. You see the Baptist history, how Baptist history took place, and I believe our country's formed based on Baptist history, and we see some of these people, some of the prayers, the Hussites, if you go study and look at them, and you could see some of their prayers that they were ready to be martyred. Every time they went out, they were ready to be martyred because they knew they were going to be martyred, but their whole goal was is, let's see how much we can evangelize until we are martyred. Look, I don't believe that, maybe we will be martyred, I have no idea. But we live in a country with freedoms right now. But man, we don't really have to worry about that too much. But just think about it, if we had that mindset of, let's just see how many people we can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ before somebody slams the door in our face or spits on us or whatever. Thank God that the same cause they had 2,000 years ago is the same cause that we have today. And I believe that cause is, number one, the person of Christ. In verses number 8 through 10, he says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Look, we have the ability to stand today, not just here, but everywhere that we go because of him. Amen? We have the ability to plant churches because of him. We have the ability to evangelize DFW because of him. You have the ability to go to work tomorrow and talk to your coworker because of him. Amen? You have the ability to talk to your lost family members because of him. Look, Peter stands here boldly and preaches them the truth of the gospel, and I can stand here today because I am complete and whole in him. As preachers, as Christians, as a church, we can stand individually, we can stand collectively and boldly proclaim because of the person of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus Christ. He says, by the name of Jesus Christ. Look, when you look at that name, there's no other name like that, amen? That name Jesus, that name he means is Jehovah is Savior. Christ means he's the anointed one, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. He's been called Master, Lord, the Light of the World, the Rose of Sharon, the Almighty God, the Counselor, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior, the Amen. And thank God, he's our friend tonight. Amen. Oh, he's the one that all the prophets were waiting on. He is the one that John the Baptist was crying in the wilderness. He was paving the way for, amen. He's the one that I needed. He is the one that you needed. He is the one that this world needs tonight. It is by this person of Christ that any of us have any hope. It's because of him that we can pray, amen. It's because of him that we have forgiveness. It's because of him that this church exists. It's because of him that we have something to look forward to. Oh, how good has God been to you today? How good is Christ to you today? Do you know him today? Do you know him today? You realize I sat in church for about a year before I truly got born again. I started going to church, Brother Gillett, and I heard him talk about heaven. I heard him talk about hell. And I liked heaven more than I liked hell. So one day after the service, not shortly after I started going there, I said, I think I'm ready to get saved now. I want to go to heaven when I die. And I said a little prayer, whatever, and I never really believed. And so I sat in church for about a year just going and getting involved. And I'm usually the loudest person in a church, and especially a small church, I'm very loud. And so they had me lead singing because the song leader kept getting distracted whenever I would sing, and I always sat up in the front. Happens all the time, amen? I can't help but sing loud. When I sing quiet, I'm squeaky. And I don't want to do that. But I served. I started going on Sunday mornings, and then I thought, maybe I should start going on Sunday nights. I'm not doing anything. So I started going on Sunday nights. I was working second shift at the time, so I couldn't go on Wednesday nights. But then I finally got first shift. You know what? I started going on Wednesday nights. I started doing everything that the church did, but I was lost. I hadn't truly trusted Christ as my Savior. It wasn't until a revival meeting. It was a Saturday night. It's not even during the preaching time. It was during the singing time. The song was being sung, and I listened to the words whenever the songs are being sung because they mean something, amen? And I realized I had never done that. I have never truly trusted Christ as my Savior, and I got saved that night. My wife, she grew up in church. She was different than me. She was one of the good kids, you know, that grew up in church. It wasn't until she's about 20 that she got saved, amen? Maybe there's somebody here tonight that has never truly trusted Christ as their Savior. Look, he's the one that you need. He is the one. He was sent here for you. Please don't turn him away today. He is our rock. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's our brother. Amen. And he's the reason why they stood. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. Let's go there. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. It says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the God-man, amen. This is God in flesh. He humbled himself for a cause. The cause was to seek and to save that which was lost. And verse number 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Talking about the name of Jesus, amen. God has given him a name above every name. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a cause to live for, amen. And what a cause to die for. It's all about him. It's all for him. It's all through him. And praise God, all glory goes to him. So when they said, what power, what name do you do this thing? He says, the person of Jesus Christ, amen. It's the person of Christ. Number 2, the placement of Christ. Look here at verse number 11, back over in Acts chapter 4. The placement of Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 11, the Bible says, this is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Look, he is the cornerstone, the foundation of what we do. Where do you have Christ placed in your life tonight? Look, if you don't have Christ placed in the proper place in your life, you're missing something. Your cause is not going to be as strong as it should be. In Psalm chapter 118, verse 22, in Psalm 118, 22 says, the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the headstone of the corner, excuse me. The chief cornerstone is the rock upon which the weight of the entire structure rests. Just get that. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone of our faith, that cornerstone is the stone upon which the weight of the entire structure rests. Look, if you and I build our lives upon that cornerstone of Jesus Christ, if he's placed in the perfect spot in our lives, look, you and I can build our lives upon him. He is the chief cornerstone of our faith. And let me tell you something, your faith is only as good as the object that it's placed in. And if Christ is the object of your faith, hey, you're building your life on something strong tonight, amen? Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, he says this, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You get that? He says, he calls Christ a stone. He's a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Oh, I'm so thankful that you and I can rest ourselves upon Christ this evening. I'm so thankful that we can rest our faith upon Christ this evening because he's that tried stone. Aren't you thankful that he was tried? He was tempted in all areas like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, we can go knock on a door tonight because Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone. Look, we can plant a church because Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone. We can tell the lost people about Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has been tried. He's been tried in every way. Tempted in all points, yet without sin. And he's our sure foundation. Well, I don't know about y'all, but it hadn't rained in forever at our house. And our foundation is shifting. We're watering it. Like, it's crazy. Our grass is all brown except for right around the house. It's like about this tall and green. But man, that door doesn't stick like it used to. It's shifted. Can I remind us tonight that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Look, he will never shift. He's always the same. And we can stand upon him. Oh, the fact that Christ is our foundation is a cause to stand. Number 3. By what power do you do this thing? By what name? I believe number 3, look in verse number 12, the power of Christ is the reason why. What caused them to do that? They understood that power of Christ. that Christ has the power to save the entire world. In verse 12, it says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what Peter was telling these religious rulers? That their salvation was not based on anything that they could do, but that the power rests solely in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God says in John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you honestly believe tonight that Jesus Christ can save anybody? Look, I pray you do. I had a conversation with a guy at work just the other day. He's a guy that believes you can lose your salvation. And he's a guy that believes that God picks and chooses who he wants to be saved or not. Look, let me tell you, friend, tonight, that is not true. Jesus says, or Peter says this in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look, that should motivate you and I to get out and to be vocal about who our God is, amen? Because he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And he tells us in John chapter 1 that he lighteth every man that cometh into this world. So I believe that every person on the face of this earth is a prospect for salvation, amen? Regardless of how good we think they are or how bad we think they are somebody that God can save. Look, the fact that there are places in our own backyard without a church should motivate us to go. Look, there's a lot of churches in the DFW area, but there's a lot of places that don't have one, amen? Look, maybe there's someone here tonight that you know somebody tonight that they're lost. Look, I'll tell you a little secret. I have a sister that she is lost. I have two sisters, one Mexican that I don't understand, and one white that I don't understand, amen? I believe my Mexican sister is saved, amen? But my white sister is not. She's kind of out there. As far as I am into what I believe, she's into what she believes. But you know what? I believe that God can save her. I believe that he can save her. Look, maybe there's somebody here that's not saved. As I said before, he has the power to save you tonight. That's the reason why. Look, whenever they got up there and started talking to them after they healed that lame man, even whenever they got out of prison and they were sitting in the midst of them talking, verse 4 tells us that many believed on his name. Many believed and got saved. Look, if it takes us going to jail, if it takes us getting hurt for somebody to get saved, let's do that, amen? The power of Christ was cause for them to do what they did. Number 4, the presence of Christ. Verse number 13, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. I love this. I believe that our being with Jesus should be evident in our lives. I work out in the world, amen. I work at Alcon Laboratories. I get to work with some people that are members here, amen. And I get to talk to them, which is amazing. Because for the longest, I didn't really have any people to talk to. Sometimes they get me in trouble, Brother Gillett. I don't know if y'all have ever talked to Brother Marquardt before, but man, he likes to talk. And talk, amen. He'll stop me sometimes and want to talk, and I'll talk with him. I get paid by the hour, you know. Look, when I see Brother Marquardt, I always see a smile on his face, amen? It makes me think that he's been with Jesus. Look, I think that us, when we come to church on Sundays, I think before we get here, people should know that we've been with Jesus already, amen? We shouldn't just be with Jesus on Sundays and Wednesdays. I think us being with Jesus should be evident in our lives, on our faces. It should be seen in the actions that we take, in the things that we do. I believe that people should know that there's something different about this person. There's something different about this lady. That she, are you a Christian? Has anybody ever asked you that? You've been somewhere and you haven't been promoting or toting your Bible around, and somebody just said, are you a Christian person? Look, I think that people should know that you are a Christian person, amen? I think it should be evident that there's something different about us than the rest of this world. I believe that we should have a smile on our face, amen? A song in our heart. I believe that we should have that joy that God can give, and that peace that passeth all understanding. I believe that during the hardest times of our life, it should be evident that we had been with Jesus, amen? I believe that it should be evident in our lives, regardless of the circumstances that come our way, that we are a people that have been with Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. Whenever we are with Jesus Christ, nothing else matters. Amen. Nothing else matters. Oh, the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. You know what happens when you and I do that? The things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Look, they had been with Jesus. How much has the presence of Christ in your life changed you? Boy, it's changed me. The presence of Christ in my life has completely changed me. Look, there are too many Christians today that make Christ prominent without making him preeminent. Too many Christians that make Christ prominent without making him preeminent. There's a difference between being a good Christian. A good Christian will make Christ prominent. A godly Christian will make Christ preeminent. God being prominent in our lives is a good thing, okay? It means that he's large. He's large in our lives. He's big in our lives. But making Christ preeminent in our lives means that there's nothing else that matters but him, amen? It means that he surpasses all others. It means that it's him. It's all about him. It's him. Look, whenever you and I get in the presence of Christ, look, he is going to be preeminent in our lives. He has to be. I believe that preeminence causes him to not only be seen in us, but he's seen on us. The disciples were asked, what caused you to do this? What has caused you to do this? He said, the person of Christ caused me to do this. The placement of Christ in my life and our lives caused us to do this. The power that Christ has causes me to do this. The presence of Christ in my life has caused me to do this. You know what I always learned in school? For every cause, there's an effect. I got two effects and I'll be done. I won't be long. Number one, it caused a proclamation and a persistence. Look here with me in verse 16 through 20. It says there, saying, what shall we do with these men? This is funny to me. It's always been funny to me. For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. They said, what are we going to do with these people? Are we going to threaten them? Let's threaten them. Putting them in jail didn't work because they got out and they kept doing what they were doing. Let's threaten them and let's tell them, don't speak anymore in his name. In verse number 19, it says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. And verse 20 says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Look, whenever Christ is our cause, when the person, the power, the placement of Christ is our cause, the presence of Christ is our cause, there's nothing that's going to be stopping us when we go out and try to evangelize this community. Amen? The proclamation, and there's a persistence in our Christianity. Look, they couldn't help but speak the things which they had seen and heard. Oh, is there anything tonight that's keeping you from speaking? Is there anything in your lives tonight that is keeping you from speaking the things that you have seen and the things that you've heard? And number two, it caused them to pass the faith. Look here in verse 21. It says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. And then look here. Because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. When we allow Christ to cause us to be the reason to do everything that we do, not only will it make us proclaim and be persistent in our testimony, in our walk with God, in our preaching, in our teaching, in our sharing the gospel, causes other people to get saved, amen. Look, when you and I stand up for the faith and persistently proclaim the word of God, he will be glorified. And I believe that is the sole reason why we are here today. It's to glorify God. When Jesus Christ saved your soul, he didn't take us to heaven right away. He left us here for a reason. And that reason is so that you will glorify him. And the greatest way that you and I can glorify God is by sharing Jesus Christ with people that do not know him, and that they can trust him and they can be saved, because the whole reason why God made us is to fellowship with us, to save us, to bring us with him, to live eternity in eternity with him. That is what we're here for, folks. It's to glorify God. Let Jesus Christ be our cause tonight. Like I said when I first started, there's so many causes out there that people have. And for the church, our cause has to be him. Amen? Amen. Is he your cause tonight? Has he made an effect in your life? Do you remember the day that you got saved? Well, I remember the day I got saved. It was a wonderful day. It was a glorious day. You know what I did the day I got saved? I got in front of the church, and they all came and shook my hands, and man, I felt like I was on a cloud just floating there, because it felt so good. And then I got out of church, and I started calling and telling people what I did. I got saved. You should get saved. And I was so excited about sharing the gospel with people about getting saved. And then the next day happened, and I did it a little bit. Then the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And pretty soon there was days that I didn't tell anybody about it. I lost sight of that cause, Brother Gillett. I pray tonight that you gain sight of that cause. Maybe you've never lost it. Maybe you have. I don't know. Maybe you need that cause strengthened. But I pray that tonight, that the person of Christ, the placement of Christ, the power of Christ, and the presence of Christ is your cause. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, so much for your word. God, we thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. God, it was your love that was your motivation for Christ to come here, to be born, to live, to die, to be buried, to resurrect for me. God, and not just for me, but for every single person in this world that's ever been born. Father, tonight I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray, Father, that if we've gotten away from you, Father, if we've lost sight of who you are, God, we've lost sight of why we do what we do. It's not just because we come to church because it's a certain day or whatever. Father, I pray that tonight we would come back to you. God, we'd commit our lives to you and say, thank you for being my cause. I will proclaim, I will be persistent, and I will pass my faith to others. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here tonight that have not ever trusted you as their Savior, God, maybe they've been coming to this church for a long time, and they've never truly put their faith in you. God, I pray that tonight, your Holy Spirit, God, would draw them. God, and tonight would be the night that they would get saved. Father, I pray that if there's any visitors tonight, or maybe somebody that's never been saved before, I pray, God, that tonight would be the night of salvation. God, I pray that you would speak now through this invitation time. We promise to give you all the honor, glory, and praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.